welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Tracker Hoffmeyer, and joining me is Nathan Berserker LaHaye.
Yeah.
I gave you the Berserker, and I'll take Tracker.
My love for you. Oh, no, I won't do that joke.
I mean, Tracker we'll gets a good death. Tracker, yeah. You know, Nikolai Oleg Taktarov, former MMA fighter who fought in the UFC, who could probably beat up a predator if they just fought. Because he would just, I don't know, like...
They didn't have all the fancy weapons.
Yeah, and so... But, I mean, he goes... It's a good death. It's a good one mm-hmm. in here. Like, I'm glad...
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, I'm kind of happy...
He prepped beforehand.
What's up?
So he prepped beforehand. He knew just in case things went down, he wasn't gonna be the only one. He had that Claymore strapped to him. He had, what, did he have, like, C4 and other stuff? Because that was a huge explosion. Like, that was a bigger explosion than just what a Claymore should have gone off. Like, there had to have been some fancy, extra powerful explosives in there.
Seen a couple grenades kicking around.
He probably had a little bit of everything. Yeah, what else? Yeah, they had grenades, he got Claymores, he's got C4, he's got probably a couple paint cans in there.
Yeah.
You know,
dirty,
what else?
A couple dirty bombs.
Aerosols. Yeah.
He has nails in his pockets. He has pennies. He has a 50 pennies wrapped up.
Raiding Lawrence Fishburne's little thing there, yeah.
A bunch of marbles.
I don't know what I'll do with these ball bearings, but I don't know, just put them in this pocket.
That would be that's a terrible thing to think about. But someone wearing cargo shorts, right? And one of those Columbia fishing shirts.
Yeah.
With all the pockets. And then a vest. And in those pockets is just all this stuff. And then
loosest
it just blows up.
You can find.
It blows up Predator Hank. And then they learn from it. You see how Hank went down? Marble.
Yeah. So do you think in the next season that the Predators are just going to have like fishing vests and they're going to be loaded up with just like it wouldn't be nails and things. It'd probably be like bones, bone fragments from like different victims, teeth, probably rocks. They'll find a lot of rocks.
All of that. Or they're just like if someone waits in a field with them ready to sword fight, they're just going to Indiana Jones them.
There you go. Well, would they have had to seen Indiana Jones?
I mean, listen. This is my theory.
Come in with a couple less fingers because of that guy?
There's Neanderthal skulls on this planet. There are aliens. Yeah. If these things have mastered universal travel, they can go anywhere in the world. These like ultra predators, super predators, they have scouts, Nathan, that sit around every galaxy of the planet like baseball scouts and just monitor villains.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, these people we had people from Africa, South America, America, you had people from all over the world, Russia, Europe, they have scouts out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like they're sitting there eating sunflower seeds, sending messages home. And then they're like, yeah, draft them. So then they beam them up. They put them in a cage. They travel them across the universe, maybe keep them in a stasis, wrap them up with a parachute, and drop them on this planet. If they can do that, they can watch Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point of the scouts. Like, they're going to all these places. They don't inherently speak all these languages, right? They, like, you know, do little recordings of, like, over here and laughter and shit like that. But, like, how much do they understand that? And if they're on Earth – scouting, doing these things, are they just sitting up in their ship, hacking into CCTV feeds, or are they like down using all this equipment, just like sneaking up behind people? Like if you're at home and you notice the door closes on its own, was that a predator?
Yeah.
Like was he looking to see if you made the cut?
They're scouting
and and if they're down here amongst us, like going around, like how do they figure out who the badasses are? Like they can't read a newspaper, they can't like watch TV and see. You know, who's on death row? Do they just like literally go to each person and be like, no, 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 no. And how many are there? Like, is there just one scout that's aimlessly just like going around Earth? Like, does he have a gut? Does he wear like a suit and one of those like, you know, silly John Lovitz hats from League of Their Own?
Oh my gosh.
Does he have the John Lovitz mustache? You know, you never know these things. So, and is he just the worst predator? Is that like the underling predator that's the scout? It's like the lowest level that you can get. You failed out of predator school. You couldn't even make it to your first season, and now you're just there scouting people. Like, no, no, no. Go out and look at all these people. Don't kill them. You're a predator, but no, you can't kill anything. Yeah, you just gotta watch.
There's scouting them all over the place. Hey, does that look like a predator to you? No, that guy looks like John Lovitz from from the movie where Tom Hanks is peeing a lot. But it's yeah, like, and then do the scouts? Okay, you're a scout for the Yautja. You're a Yautja scout. You're not a classic okay. Yautja scout. You are a super predator scout, and you have a blood war with the other group. This is what this movie's about. The predators yeah. have a blood war. So you're yeah. part of the super predators. You are sent to Earth. So you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to get any like geeks off the street. If we're going to quote Young Guns or yeah, regulators.
Going to be handy with the steel.
Yeah.
if you know what I mean.
Got to earn your keep. And you don't want them. Right. But then you don't want to get the ultimate, like you don't want to get American Sniper. I don't know the guy's name. So I'm just saying that you don't want John Wick.
Yeah.
So they're like, listen.
Why wouldn't you? You would though. That would be like the ultimate like challenge.
But here's the thing. I'm a super predator. It's like, man, I got to go to the island to hunt. Like, I hope to get it. John Wick took out three of them last week. Yeah. And what did we learn? We can't kill John Wick.
We leave John alone. We leave John alone.
What if I get a John Wick? Like, just get me like.
I quit. I can't quit and go home. I have to face my predator parents, my super predator parents. They'll kick me out of the basement. I'll have to be on my own, trying to find a affordable living in these times. Oh God.
Yeah, there's no infrastructure in our country. It's either be a scout for the hunt, drive a vehicle back and forth, be an interdimensional trunk driver. Like what?
Yeah.
I need to read the comics, but what's the Yautja's infrastructure? They exist to hunt, so they must have drivers. They must someone must build the ships. Someone must build the weapons.
You got engineers.
Someone must do the tech.
Yeah.
So who's – do they have a barter system? Are there condos on this world?
The condos are just ship-based. They don't have – do they have a home world? I don't know. Like are they like centrally based or are they just going around? They are?
If you watch Alien versus Predator Requiem, I don't know if that's still canon, but one of them I believe – not I believe. It happens.
Commit to it, Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Commit to it. Hey, I ain't going to lie. Okay, so one of them is like, wow, there is a new threat. So he pops in his wolf, I believe, pops in its ship and flies to Earth to battle the pred alien or the ale pred or the aliter or the predian. One of those.
The predianator.
So you see it, like they're chilling in chairs, so people are making the chairs. So I guess there's infrastructure on this planet, but it's like, it's an interesting culture.
Do you think that the artisan predators just hate themselves and life in general? Because, I mean, you're called the predator.
Yeah.
And if you're just sitting there, like, making, you know, wicker, like, you know, baskets and armchairs, like, do you just hate life, but... You like it's like the ultimate shame to kill yourself unless you're loading a like small jungle along with it.
Man, you know, that's a great question. I think
Robert already is on the line to answer that. Robert.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, this script was kicking around since 94, which kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I saw that when he was making Desperado. It just popped into his head. You know what the world needs? Another predator.
And you know what's funny? I guess he had made El Mariachi. He was getting ready to do Desperado and they're like, hey, do you want to write a Predator script on the commentary? And he's like, yeah. So he just wrote one. And listen, it's a sound idea. Get them back in the jungle. Yeah. I like Predator 2, though. Danny Glover, Gary Busey, Bill Paxton. I like the idea of it. And on the podcast, it's a really popular episode. But I love AVP. I think AVP, I don't care what you think out there, Predator fans. It's a PG-13 movie, but it's – you watched it again, Nathan. It's – good.
I did recently. Yeah, I remember seeing it. I think I saw it in the theater, and I remember coming out of it like I'm sure a lot of people did. I was like, what the heck did I just watch? Like, what is this nonsense? And then I watched it again recently, and I had a better appreciation for it. It just taking it for what it was. There's no – like, I mean, anyone going into something that has verses in the title, you're going to have your alien group and then your predator group. And then if it doesn't go how the way you think it should go, you're automatically going to get upset. But it was good. Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Sanaa Lathan becomes a predator. That's awesome.
Like, yeah, she gets a little alien shield. Man. She gets a little alien spear. Some nice teamwork there. Yeah, honorary Predator with her nice little facial scar now.
And speaking of that, Lawrence Fishburne, well, Paul W.S. Anderson directed AVP, and then he directed Fishburne in Event Horizon, which I also love, and now Fishburne's in this movie. And in the commentary, yeah, he shot for 2 days. And the only reason he did that is because he loved working with Nimrod Antel, the director, on Armored in that. But I want to talk to you real quick. This is like 64% of Rotten Tomatoes. It made about $140 million worldwide on a $40 million budget. $40 million in 2010 is not much. That's a small budget right there. So I think they did do a good job stretching it. They shot in Austin, Texas, your neck of the woods, and Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Hawaii, but like 60% in Texas or something like that.
Yeah, so they shot quick exteriors. Yeah, bonkers. Here's the thing. And you can tell Hawaii and then Austin, which I love, but it's an alien planet, so there it doesn't matter what's on it. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's foreign. It has all kinds of different seasons and foliage. Just go with it. Just go with it.
A pine tree wouldn't be there. It's another planet. How do you know? But I think
they uproot people from all over the place from different planets. You think they can't get a pine tree to just give some different feng shui?
Due to that temperate zone, there would not be a pine tree. But you know that's how they would stop. But okay, with this one though, this movie went into, they were talking about this on the commentary. They went into this movie filming without a final script. All the actors didn't have much time to prep. Adrian Brody packed on 25 pounds fast, prepping for this. They had to go to look for Hawaii, and when they were shooting, they didn't even have finalized Predator outfits yet. Like K&B, Nicotero, Berger, all those guys, famous production team, they had to rush to get the Predators made. This movie, it was sitting in stasis, like the people being transferred from Boston to the alien planet. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they just went, all right, film it. And then Robert Rodriguez was like, oh crap. So he hired Nimrod Antel to direct, and then they just went right into it. And for me, I hate comparing everything to Predators, right? Predator, because that there's like an interesting synthesis in that movie that really works. But I want to see what you think about this. My biggest problem with Predators is I love all the actors involved, but I do think Adrian Brody, who I love in The Pianist, he's great in Darjeeling Limited, I think he's a really good actor. But in this one, he seems to be playing a tough guy. If that makes
it's just a little out of place. It's kind of, it's in comparison. I always make this joke where he's trying to, I'm going to sound this way and I got to, I'm going to leave you. I'm better on my own. And it's like, I got to use my lower register. I compare it to Zac Efron in Greatest Showman. Cause when he first showed up the first time and he was like, hey, how's it going? He's like, hey, hello, I'm Zac Efron. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I have to use my low register now. And I always make the joke with my wife whenever we watch it. And she's like, shut up. You're ruining it. Just watch the movie. But yeah, it seemed just kind of out of place. Everyone kind of fit, like you said, fit the role, fit what they were going for. And then, I mean, I think Adrian Brody did a good job, but yeah, just was a little, I don't know, maybe wouldn't have been my first choice.
Take, for instance, Alice Braga in this as Isabel.
She is great.
Effortlessly badass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing, though. I can't totally blame Brody because the director was on set, Rob Rodriguez was on set. You can play a tough guy without having I go on my own and I use people as bait. Like,
yeah,
you can be tough without that. And it sucks too, because Brody worked his butt off to gain 25 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
He looks the part. And I like that Nimrod said, like, I don't want to have a gigantic muscular cast. He's like, special forces guys would not look like the crew in Command and Predator. And I was going to say Commando. He's like, these military guys, whenever you meet them, they're all wiry and they could just, like, they're not lifting cement blocks out there. So I like the idea of it. And it's crazy, man. Like, when I'm away from this movie, I grow very fond of it. But when I watch it again with the, I'm on my own, I work on my own, like, I better get to that ship. And I know I'm making fun of Brody. He's an Oscar winner. But he doesn't have to do that. And they always throw it. Like, it's just this very weird ingredient that's in your face at all times in this movie. But I admire it because it's $40 million. That's nothing, man. That's nothing. So I have a love, not a hate, but like a dislike relationship with this, because I like the look of the Predators. There's finally a classic Predator back on the screen. Mm-hmm. You have some awesome actors, but then just, I don't know, just...
I guess you could also think of it as, like, you know, with them rushing everything, trying to get it going, getting the script together, getting what they shot at in like 50 days or something like that. You make a choice, you kind of got to stick with it. Like, there's not a whole lot of time to, you know, change it up on the fly, I guess. And I guess that kind of goes too with, I know there were issues that they were questioning Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
And if he was right for the part. And Nimrod really fought for him to be in that. And I don't know how much he didn't necessarily change, but the role changed a whole lot, I think I saw, from what they originally scripted. Yeah. And they didn't – I think Rodriguez didn't think that he could do it after the change, but they brought him in, sat down, took time to do it, and then kind of convinced him to do it. So I don't know if it was anything that maybe Goggins changed up, or maybe he was just Goggins being Goggins, which is probably the case. You can always tell when Goggins is kind of being Goggins in his roles, but it worked. And I don't know. Maybe was it so much that Nimrod was just pulling for Adrian so much to be in this because of what he wanted, kind of regardless of those choices, or was he really on board with these strong choices that he made to sound a specific way? And I gotta do that. I don't know. Maybe it flipped Nimrod's switch. I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I think Nimrod loved what he was doing. Because, I mean, the guy was committed. This is tough, right? So he was hired to work on Armored, which had a big ensemble cast, Nimrod Antel. And Robert Rodriguez appreciated. This is kind of crazy. I don't know if he was throwing shade, but on the commentary, he's like, yeah, you worked on Armored. And on that movie, you had Matt Dillon. And he named a few of the other cast members. And he's like, you had a really smooth shoot with them. But so I guess what he was saying is that they're notoriously a pain in the ass. So he figured he could handle this cast. But if you're relatively new, you have a couple, you know, things you shot in Europe. You have a film you shot here, Armored. And then you get an Oscar winner on your film set who put on 25 pounds and is just dedicated beyond all belief.
Yeah.
How, man, that's tough, that, right? Because you want that synthesis.
Something. Yeah.
You want that synthesis. So it's tough. Like, I do think, you know what I hate, though, Nathan? And I apologize to anybody listening who enjoys these videos, and I know there are. I know there are some really good videos out there.
I encourage it.
But there's a whole kind of industry out there of how to make this movie better. There's entire episodes that get 10 million views about the ending of Frozen 2 fixed, and it's this person going, "This is what I would have done." So you got that, then you got that. Hindsight is 20/20, and I've worked on film sets, man. I've been on film sets that were like, "This is going to win an Oscar." And then it doesn't even get released. Like, it's just what happens on film sets. So yeah. I have a hard time. Like, we're talking about the voice in this film. But I don't think we're talking about how to change the ending or change the plot. Because this was a rush production. But I do think that voice, man, I can't name it. Right?
Like, imagine certain lines. Like, imagine how different the pace would have been, or different lines would have been delivered, or just the overall kind of atmosphere of certain scenes. If it wasn't like this, and it was maybe up here a little bit more, like, come on, yeah. Kill me. I'm right here. Kill me. Would it, you kind of have to have, I guess this kind of goes like, you can't help but compare it to Predator. You can't. Anytime that anything involving Predator comes up, you're going to compare it, especially to that movie, but things that have come before, and things in that were so iconic and lines delivered and everything else that you can't help compare it, because it's to a lot of people just like perfect. Like, how else can you do it? Does it have to be that kind of gruff, something like tough guy thing? And if it's like an octave above, is it going to kill it for, you know, how many people, or just not make it as impactful? Yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And that's a tough decision. And that's one. If I had that decision, Nathan, I wouldn't. You saw me on Comic Cons. I'm pretty blunt with people, but I've never dealt with but also I had to deal with some actors, and you know the stories, man. They kind of ran all over me because like they're like paid to be there. I'm not gonna be like no. So it's tough, man. So I feel bad for Nimrod on this because he delivered a good. This is a good looking movie. And I think the cinematography, I really like the production design. And like Robert Rodriguez, what I love about him is his crew worked on this. Like the production designers are Kayla Edelblut and Steve Joyner. They did Alita. They had done art direction on Kill Bill. Really great work making Austin, Texas look like a jungle. And then you had Gila Pados was the director of the director of photography. This is another guy that has shot, like, I don't know, some excellent movies. I mean, this guy's doing the Jumanji movies now. He's doing the new Shazam, the Maze Runner movies, which were big budget. So You have a lot of talent. You have Mahershala Ali, two-time Oscar winner. You have Walton Goggins, who should have 48 billion Emmys. I don't know what for. Can you give those out for Justified? I don't know.
But I'd give it out for Justified. I've been a fan of Goggins since I saw him in The Shield. I always talk about The Shield. I love that show. I try to watch it in its entirety every couple of years because he was just great in that. And then he goes to Justified, and then he goes to all these other movies. I mean, he is memorable in anything that he is in, even if it's for a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
You just remember line deliveries or his presence or just things about him. You can't help but recognize. But as much as I love Goggins, why does he always have to be the sleazy creeper?
Yeah, he's like, so sleazy in this.
It's just like,
oh gosh. And then also you have Alice Braga. I love her in City of God. You have an Oscar winner, Adrian Brody. When I remember in 2010, when I was like 2009, I guess, when the movie was announced and I heard about the casting, I remember going, Topher Grace, Adrian Brody, Walton Goggins, like Alice Braga, like. I remember, like, so I'm a big MMA fan. I was like, Oleg Taktarov? Danny Trejo? And actually, we're doing this episode because we're doing a Danny Trejo shift.
Yeah, we're doing our nice little jump ship from our Elias Koteas we started with.
We went from Elias Koteas to Danny Trejo. Oh, that makes me happy. But
when you're going through the podcast, just look for my name. Look for Nathan Leahy, and you'll follow the breadcrumbs to see how we got here.
I love the outside the box casting on this movie. I don't know if I'm in love with the twist at the end because, okay, first and foremost, how did the Predator scouts know that Edwin was a serial killer? Serial killers aren't out in the street just going, yeehaw! You know, like,
they're not advertising. Exactly, which comes into earlier, and I know it was a joke, but like, how do they go into this? Like, you could argue that, like, the information they've collected over the years from you know, battling Arnold in the jungle or Danny Glover or whatever, that they have enough information that they can recognize training, uniforms, different classes, you know, camouflage. They're big fans of camouflage, so they recognize the camo patterns. I don't know, however you want to do it. But, yeah, as far as the inmates, Walton Goggins being a death row inmate and Topher Grace being the serial killer, does that come back to you? Are they just like following people around? Are they just like, they read the internet. That's exactly it.
They have to. You know how there's like true crime podcasts where they're like, we're going to find this killer. The Predators follow kills from Topher Grace. They go Zodiac on this. The Predators go full Zodiac to actually catch Edwin.
It would make sense, too, if they're constantly learning from kills and killing methods and all that stuff, and they've been on Earth for so long. You know that they've followed, I'm sure they're big fans, and they've followed, like, the big ones, and so they can see either kind of patterns that are coming out or different methods, and maybe they have a little bit of appreciation, so maybe they seek them out, like, more so than the others. Like, the other ones, the guy in the camo with the big gun, and he's, you know, we've watched him. We know how many people he's killed, and he's been in it for a long time. He looks like he can handle himself. That'd be easy to find. But for the ones that they got to dig through and really find, I think they're very probably proud of that.
Would you become world leader, Nathan? I don't know how it's going to happen. One day, the entire world is going to go, Nathan, you have some skeletons in your closet, but we can forgive those. There's nothing we can get on you that, like, wipes you out. You are the president of the world.
Yes, I made it.
First thing I would do is I would go to Area 51 and be like, hey, get me in touch with these Predator scouts, these Yautja scouts. They come, they meet me. They have really nice button-up shirts. We're chatting. I say, hey, listen, get the worst of the worst off this world. I won't say nothing. You don't say nothing. Just beam them out of here. But, like, you can't take people that, like, chew bubble gum. Like, get serial killers. Get child traffickers. Like, get the worst of the worst. If someone jaywalks.
Don't take John Wick. He's got morals. Yeah, I mean, I know you're afraid of him already, but, like, we like him around here.
Don't take the Baba Yaga. Just take the bad stuff off the streets. And listen, this is going to be a really morally complicated issue, this deal. But I'll say, okay, I'll be like, listen, every soldier you take off, find one serial killer. Right?
We know you like soldiers. We know you're very fond of them. But like, just one soldier, one serial killer. We got prison. You know what a prison is? Prisons full of bad people. Take your pick. Yeah. Yeah. They're so bad that we want to kill them. So you take those. Pick of the litter.
Only the ones on death row, though.
Only the ones on death row.
And here, we know we're guilty. None of this, like,
here. We'll put up a sheet. You just each throw a dart. Each throw a dart. That's you can have that. Oh, there it is. Goggins. Yes. We hate him. Absolutely. He's terrible. Take him.
We don't want to have a thing where, like, we accidentally put somebody up and, like, then you take them, then we realize they were innocent. Like, you guys are good.
This is no exoneration. These are bad. They've confessed, or we found 19 bodies. Like, just these guys right
here. The New York Times finds out about this, they're going to write an article and be like, I guess it works.
It's like aliens exist, but we're okay with these aliens.
Yeah, world leader.
They're after us, but not all of us. Just world the bad part.
World leader Nathan has made a rule. All right, I know you just got dark.
It's gonna be a picture of me with like a thumbs up, and it's like, A-okay in my book. Friends, not foes. Friends of foes.
And then people complain, and you're like, do we want to have this race of hunter aliens as enemies?
Yeah, better these 9 people than the 9 billion that are on this planet.
No, Captain America would hate that.
Captain America would not be okay with it at all.
I'll be like, take Captain America.
We don't leave a man behind. We don't leave a man behind. That would be interesting if you get Cap and Bucky thrown in the jungle.
They would take them, right?
Predators.
Wouldn't they take the Hulk?
I don't know if they would, because again, those aren't bad people. Like, I'm sure they're salivating when they look at Clint Barton. You know, and they look at Banner and like all these things. I'm sure they're salivating, like waiting for it to come. Like, give me a Spider-Man in the jungle. I want that. That'd be a good challenge for them. The Spidey sense against cloaking device. That'd be great. But yeah, people. Then you got, you know, the popularity of them, and you can't do that. And they defend the Earth, and that's just that wouldn't be good for anyone.
Man, these. So okay,
the scouts that come out want it to be as easy as possible. They don't want to go through red tape and paperwork.
Yeah,
you know, here's what you got. I got it. Cool. Awesome. I got my bad guy quota. I can go home to my crappy condo, my crappy spaceship condo, and I can just chill and hate my life because I can't kill anything.
Just watch Days of Our Hunting Lives.
Days of Our Hunts.
You have a twin?
What?
Yeah, you fell down an elevator shaft and came back? I'm a triplet. Wait, what?
You were in season 7. You thought you killed them all, but 2 survived. Picture of Lawrence Fishburne. Ah!
It's how about
stripping metals and bones and things off of them they've earned. Their wife divorces them. I thought I knew you.
We need this. I need this show. All right, so how about this? Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will talk more Predators. We will be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And I'm not brave enough. I was going to say that while we were gone, we did all the stuff that Walton Goggins was talking about in this movie, but I'm not going to say any of that.
Oh, yeah. No, don't let me into that.
Yeah,
I will say from now on, when you address me, I do want to be referred to as President Nathan.
World leader.
Universal. Whoa. That's way too much responsibility. Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, we just did some cocaine. But that's
that's as brazen as we'll get. One thing that was really fun, and I think goes into like the choosing methods too, since we're talking about our scouts again here, is they can't get too much of the same person, right? Like you gotta mix it up. Like, do you think that Predators play a decent amount of like Earth video games? Because in any of like the shoot 'em ups and things like, you always got like the different classes and the different stereotype. Well, you got your heavy. Like, ooh, we need to get a heavy. Get this guy with a minigun. Yeah. Now get now. What do we need? We need a sniper. Ooh, yeah. Get this chick over here. We need to. You know, we need this. We need that.
We need a serial killer. What?
We need the rogue. We need the sneaky little son of a bitch. We need the loudmouth that doesn't really do a whole lot.
But he shivs like predators though.
He shivs the hell out of that predator. Absolutely, and the dog and the predadog. But I will say, like, out of all of like the firepower and things that you have in this movie, in movies like this, the moments that just make me roll my eyes so hard and kind of upset me, the moments like when the predadogs get unleashed, mm-hmm. right? And you've got the like giant, like, you know, barrel loaded shotgun, and you have a sniper, and you have a minigun, and like the double submachine guns that Trejo has, and they're just unloading into the forest at this one thing, and nothing hits. Like, yeah, it just bugs me so bad, mainly because of this, of if there's a sniper, because they're the whole like one shot, one kill, save your ammunition, make it count. And Alice Braga, what, set off like in that initial, like, you know, volley, fired like six times, didn't hit a damn thing. You had a minigun mowing down, like, didn't hit a damn thing. And finally, like, one stray bullet just pop, 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 and then it goes down. Mm-hmm. And then here are like nine others that show up. We're like, we're out of ammo. It's because you missed everything. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but like,
if you and I would have missed everything, Nathan. Oh, all of our bullets would have missed. But these commandos.
I would hope that I would have gotten like a lucky ricochet. Or even if it was like, if when it got hit, I would claim it. That was mine. Yeah. That was me. I meant to do that. It took me a second. My sights were off.
It bounced off a tree.
Yes, exactly. It hit a rock. I watched. I tracked the ricochet. That was mine.
That minigun would have turned the Pred Dogs into meatloaf that has been thrown at a wall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But
they were just flushing us out. They're seeing what we do. Can I tell you something interesting?
Send the dogs. They'll miss everything. Yes, good plan.
These predators, these super predators, they are gigantic. They are 9 foot.
Yes.
500, 600 pounds. They can climb trees. But you would know which branch they were standing on. It's just...
Hey, these are alien trees, Mark. Okay.
Yeah. These conifers out there.
That limb.
Hey, why is that limb hanging towards the ground?
It's going to be like the cartoon method, like with like Charlie Brown Christmas, where he puts the ornament on and just goes, yeah. Or like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon, where like they go all the way to the top because they're scared, and it just like comes all the way down and it meets the meets the thing again. But yeah, no, that's a good point. That's something I didn't consider, that they're, yeah, nearly 1,000 pounds. And
I want to watch them climb a tree, because it won't be stealthy. That was a good rhyme.
There you go.
I just think, listen, I have no doubt that they can climb a tree, but that tree will be rocking.
Exactly. And even if someone's like, well, they wouldn't climb, they're so strong that they would just leap. Okay, let's say they leap and that 900 pound frame lands on a
tree branch.
It's not gonna snap or just kind of go, yes, and like shake up there. That's what they do.
You would hear that.
Yeah. Or even at, well, they would aim for the you know, base of the tree, whatever is the sturdiest and right in the middle and has the most girth. Okay, but you wouldn't hear a 900 pound thump.
Exactly.
What was that? Must have been a rock or a bird. Oh, keep going.
It's there's a lot of questions I have about predators in this movie, but I still love it. I still love watching the classic predator fight the berserker predator. I love the sword fight between Hanzo, which could be a reference to Kill Bill. I know they talk about, like, he finds a really old sword there on the planet.
Yeah, was that made crafted by Hattori Hanzo?
Yeah. Oh. I love that sword fight. I mean, there's a lot in this movie I like. I feel this movie, too, is believably sweaty. Sometimes you watch movies and you're just thinking, these people are not sweating. I think they did a good job with that. I think they found some cool visuals. I do like the wide shots of them walking through the woods. Mm-hmm. I like Adrian Brody hacking off the berserker predator's head with about 47 strikes.
Yeah.
And what did you think about Edwin's heel turn? Because Edwin's like, I'm gonna live on this planet.
I think it was very hopeful that it's funny, yeah, because I watched it now and like knowing that turn was gonna come and I'd forgotten his reasoning, I was like, I'm just like them. I'm a predator. That, you know, he is clearly you know, smart. He knows his poisons. He knows how to kill people and get away with it. And he has some smarts. But how dumb is he if he really thinks that he knows these things we were brought here to track and kill and hunt, and it's honor and the merit and just the kind of pride that these things have, that they're going to kill and survive and up, you know, one up all of these killers from all these other planets across the universe. Did he really think, like, oh, if I just try to relate to them, that they'll let me live? Like, no, they're going to fucking murder you.
Oops, yeah, they stabbed him in the back. We're PG-13. It's cool. Well, yeah. When he was laying on the ground, it just went, I don't like you. And it stabbed him right in the back.
Is he dead?
These predators would just be insulted with Edwin. Because Edwin thinks of himself as a hunter. But I guarantee you he does not give the people that he murders machine guns.
Well, and he has to incapacitate them to overpower them. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to use his little neurotoxin to take out Alice Braga, which would have been fun to see them fight. That would have been like that nice little melee back and forth first, because she's not the biggest, but neither is Topher Grace. Like, that would have been like at least shown a little bit of his capabilities. But he just did the little snick wit. Oh, you're down. Oh, I'm just going to gloat over you now. Which, did that do it in? Did they think like maybe he had some potential and his obsessive gloating was just too much for them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, do you think he did that to her to have her lay there so when the predator came, he's like, look, I'm like you. Like, I did this.
See? She's still alive, though. But, like, she can't move or do anything. I'm smart like you, and I use my environment. But I'm going to kill her. Watch.
That predator would blow his head off.
Oh, absolutely. He would get 2 seconds into his whiny monologue. And it's already established. Like, Adrian Brody was talking to the regular predator, to the reg pred. And he's in there, you understand me, don't you? You do that. There wasn't really any recognition or thing. Like, they, you know, do they speak English at this point? Do they understand? Or is it just really their own language and then body language and intent? Can they read intentions more so? Would they think that it's below them to learn the language of something they're hunting? You know?
Ooh. If I was really immature, you and I get taken over to this planet, right? Somehow you and I become legit badasses. We become the ninja twins. And so we just go around murdering people. Bad people. Somewhat yes. Bad people.
Only bad people.
Yeah, but like our bad is quite flexible.
Yes.
But we get pulled over there and we hear a couple of people talking. Oh man, you're an ugly mother. You know, like, what do you want? What are you doing? And then we hear the predators copying that. Then you and I start going like, hey, butt face. You're a big butt face. And then the aliens, when they come at us later, they're like, hey, butt face.
Quit hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself. They come behind you. Quit hitting yourself. Quit hitting yourself.
Hey, butt face.
That'd be great. Who wants to break that mood? Yeah.
That'd be so... Dude, the predator walks up and goes, who farted? And you're like...
Say it, don't spray it. Say it, don't spray it. Yeah, man, that would be like, how many South Park quotes would you want to rattle off?
Like, I would just quote, what's a song? Like, do you remember the 21st night? Like, I would just say that lyric. So when the predator comes up, do you remember the 21st night? I'm about to get stabbed through the chest, but if one of y'all survived, please tell this story.
Well, because they usually, they rattle something off mid or post kill. Mm-hmm. So you think like, you know, they use their nice little, you know, wrist blade and they, you know, they've got they got Nikolai up and he's lifting it up and he just brings him close to his face and you just hear him say, don't stop believing. Like, you know, it's going to will Nikolai blow him up? Will he be taken out of it and like use his last breath to chuckle? Be like, that was a good one. Oh, I can't set off the detonator. Yeah.
I'm a big poo-poo face. Wait, what? The most immature things. And I know Predator Yautja fans out there are very angry about this, but listen, we're out there being hunted. We're hot. We're dehydrated.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the way that Robert Rodriguez said it, like, predators is a double entendre. You have the predators who are hunting themselves on that, and then you have the predators hunting them. Which, We're super predators. You, me, and David Thompson, right? We're super predators.
Absolutely.
And then we have, let's see, Kathleen.
If I'm a super predator, can I have the pred drone?
Absolutely.
I want the pred drone. I'll play with that.
Kathleen is our scout. Kathleen gets us a bunch of humans. We do one hunt every cycle. She gets us a bunch of humans. And they all kill each other. And when by the time we show up, all beefed up and ready to like blow people up when we're invisible with a shoulder cannon that is heat sinking, which is very unfair. They're all dead.
How long do you think we'd be going around the jungle looking for these guys? Like, these guys are good. We can't we can't find them.
Where are they?
Holy crap. Do we suck? Or are they just like super evolved? Holy crap. Get Kathleen on the phone. Who'd you find us? Who'd you find these people for us?
And eventually it'd be cheat. And use like the infrared, then we just see like a blood explosion somewhere. Which is, oh man!
And then we'd have to, and, And then we'd have to come up with a story. Like, this guy right here. How do we kill this guy? Did you kill him? All right, you killed him. How'd you do it? Did you use your laser or your sword? Sword? Yeah, I like that one. How much of a fight? Well, hang on. You can't make it too easy. Hang on. Let me cut you. There you go. He did that to you. He did that to you before you got him. Good, good, good. Now me. Who do I get? Who do I get? Wait a minute. I got to run off the battery on my drone a little bit. Otherwise, I didn't think we'd use it. Hang on. Okay,
drop
cool.
Drop a missile.
We can't come back with all this ammunition. They'll know we're full of shit.
Whoa. So are you saying that there are investigators on the Yautja home planet that do a download of all the hunts and everyone has to have their story straight?
I wouldn't doubt it because the Predators have to have some sort of ranking system. I mean, we've seen that a little bit like at the end of AVP when they all show up and they take the body back and there's like the head Pred, you know, that has checked her mark and gave her the nice alien spear, you know, as her reward. Like there is some sort of hierarchy there. Are they promoted due to their hunting? Do they get, you know, is it like the equivalent of modern warfare when you're playing a game and you get like, you know, achievement unlocked, 50 headshots, you know, things like that, 20 blade kills. And does that just like keep ranking you up until you get better gear? Do you get a better condo? Do you get to, you know, be the Inquisitor for a day? Like what happens here? You know, but I'm sure they'd probably check into it. Like it's got to be more than you kill him. Yep. Cool. You know,
high five.
You know, did you get a new trophy? Awesome. Yeah. Put it over above the mantle. Yeah. Oh, that looks good there. Yeah.
I got a new shadow box for it.
Got a new shadow box.
You know,
the shadow box is the trophy. I made it from these people's bodies. Cool. For other trophies. Nice.
I built a shadow box out of ribs.
But what I do like too is there is I wrote a data article that actually got a ton of like views. I wrote about the large unnecessary trap in Predators. And I did the math on how long it took the guy to make it. But what I love is that these Predators just watch this dude make a trap for weeks. Because you know how many pieces of wood this character had to whittle?
Oh, for all the spice going out? Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I read the commentary. I learned about the comic, and it turns out the guy had one of the spike, like the blades to cut. So, I mean, even with that thing, you're making about 500 spikes. You are digging a hole. You are cutting up tree trunks. That deadfall took...
Well, what do you say, like five times the weight
exactly.
Of your... So that's got to be, if they were 900 pounds, that's 4,500 pounds. How did he get that up there? Did he borrow like...
A lever system.
Of course, pulleys. Of course.
Like this guy spent
weeks. Need really is a fulcrum. Get it on up there.
And then that Venus flytrap or the little smashy trap that the guy built. This person, and then also, you got to figure about this. If you just drop those sticks into the ground, they wouldn't shoot. So he had to rig each one up to poof and shoot. Mm-hmm. It's like a weeks long process. I did the math on all this. You can see the post on Movies Home to Flicks. It was very popular. But you know what I love about this?
How much PSI did he need to create to shoot those down there?
but the Predators were just watching.
Cancers for each one.
Oh.
Like a Pinewood Derby car or something. Just
they were just watching. They were just watching him. And then they walked up and shot his back in. Like exploded him from the back. That means Yautja have a sense of humor.
I think so. How could they not? I mean, you know they're making bets.
Yeah.
Like, and do you think that before they're put down there with the new season, they get like a little dossier, and you think they're like taking bets or like calling dibs?
Whoa! Like in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, you gotta do it, and then like you know for people like Fishburne's character that get away, do they get punished for something? They're like, oh, I killed two of them already. Were those from the same season? Were they different season? If he killed two in the same season, that means the one Predator was left and he didn't complete that season and he had to go back. What he said? Like, where are your brothers? Oh man, you know, never going to believe this. So, Dylan died, from, you know, that guy, the number seven in the dossier. Yeah. he just killed Dylan, man, with his own weapon. He took his stuff and then Frank. Oh, don't even ask about Frank. So did you kill number seven? No, I just left. I'm out of there. You should have seen what he did to Frank.
Yeah. This Nolan character, geez Louise.
Yeah, that was good. I completely forgot that he was in the movie until he showed up again.
Shot for two days. That character's so odd to me because he doesn't look like he's suffered at all there.
He's got all of his limbs intact.
Yeah.
No scars.
Not emaciated.
Eating well.
Yeah.
Eating very well.
So is he cannibalizing people?
You got to think that he is. They never went into what he was eating. I mean, do they do supply drops on the planet for either
like
predators
biscuits?
Or people
they like drop they did biscuits for him or like what are Yautja
like
eating?
Like did Lost, like, you know, the Dharma Initiative coming around just dropping tubs of ranch, you know, and things every so often, like what's going on? But you know, if not, I mean, he's got to be cannibalizing. He knows the cycles of the seasons. He knows kind of what to expect with the drops and the parachutes. He knows not everyone's going to make it. So is he out there just like crossing his fingers, hoping that a chute doesn't deploy and then he can eat for, you know, like 6 days?
So if Nolan killed them all, what do the three hunters think? Like, what happened to them? Oh, we lost them. Like, but you know what, though? There is a random creature, which is based on the design of the original Predator running around, which they just snipe.
Oh, yeah, the little cockroach thin
man. With Jean-Claude Van Damme in it?
Yeah.
Because he was... No. You know that, right?
What was that? What
Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally in Predator, the first one. You didn't know this? And they had him in an outfit. And he was a very athletic, weird-looking creature. And they shut down production, and they had Stan Winston come in and make the Predator. But Jean-Claude Van Damme was in Predator.
Wait a minute. You're telling me we could have had Spin Kick Predator and
yes.
We missed out on it?
Yes.
After he killed someone, we had got a nice long, yeah!
Yeah! So he would have had to have gotten his butt kicked for the first 5 minutes of the fight. And then the person he's fighting just completely falls apart, forgets how to fight, and then he comes back and wins.
Do you think he would have remembered his training from years ago? Do you think that maybe that's why Jean-Claude Van Damme dropped out? He's like, I have to die in this? I have to lose? No, I'm out.
Well, the costume just looks silly. Look it up. You look up JCVD Predator. It is
I'm going to do it right now.
It is very, very, very silly. But
we can't just leave something like this hanging without me commenting on it.
No, true story. But I do like how the Predators are killed in this. And once again, you know, you don't, aside from the Predator, which just came out, before this, like, they weren't really killed by gunfire. So I like that Walton Goggins shivved one, didn't kill it. I like that Hanzo gets a kill. I like that Nikolai gets a kill. Because I think Nikolai, my favorite characters in this are probably Nikolai, Hanzo, and Isabella. Because Royce is all right, Edwin's all right, Stan's, I like Goggins, but nah. Mahershala Ali, Mombasa doesn't have enough to do in this.
Yeah.
But I love that my favorite characters are the ones who kind of get some good kills. I mean, Braga doesn't get a kill, but she does kill an alien. She kills a few other things, so she's super cool.
Yeah.
But also, too, I just want to get this out there. If I'm going to rate all of these movies, I'm going to go Predator. Then I'm going to take Predator. I just made those noises. Predator, the recency bias, AVP, Predator 2. Then I'm going to do Predator. Turs, then I'm going to do The Predator, and then I'm going to do AVPR for these movies. That's my ranking of it. Are you finding anything here on JCVD?
I did, and I was waiting for you to get through it before I said it. That is just strange. Like, that's strange. That looks so different and just kind of goofy. And the picture I saw, well, I found two pictures. One of him, like, actually in the suit, where, like the head is up and you can see him. And then another one where this weird Predator thing is right in front of Carl Weathers missing an arm. That is funky. Yeah, I never knew that. That is weird. Oh, why he left Predator. Ooh, I'm going to have to come back.
So I got Nathan on Skype here. We don't release the video, but you're really into that right now. You're gobsmacked. It makes me happy to see that.
What does it remind me of? It reminds me of like a strange, just like monotonal Pokemon. Like my kid is watching a bunch of is Pokemon crazy. It's Pokemon household over here. So she's playing the games and watching the cartoons and doing all that stuff. And it just like it's lanky. It's weird. It has just like a really long neck that curves up over under the head where it almost has like Black Manta eyes with just like those really big kind of like oval eyes going in weird directions. And it's just it's fun. It reminds me of a Pokemon, but like a really kind of one that's trying to be real scary, but it doesn't have a whole lot of color.
I'm very happy that they switched the design because
absolutely.
I gotta tell you, when the classic Predator fights the Super Predator, they take off their masks. I mean, KMB does an excellent job on this and the creature design for what they're able to do. And listen, I do love this world. I mean, I know it's silly what we're talking about with the scouts, but there are scouts. There are 100% scouts.
Absolutely.
So
you know what? You come up with, if you don't think there are scouts, you come up with a different argument about how they find these people and the hierarchy in the predator system and the lowest of the low being scouts, because they don't get to kill anything. They just find people for other predators to kill. That's got to be the worst thing in their whole society.
But I do like this movie. I think the 64% is fair. Do you think the 64% is fair?
I think it is. I think it is. I think there's a lot of stuff you can find about this movie. Well, I think a lot of people, I mean, that's 64%, that's over. So a lot of people find things they enjoyed about it. If you go into it just taking it for what it is, not expecting a big, you know, huge character development arc and like all this stuff, it is a lot of fun. There are definitely things that bug me about it. I mean, I mentioned about the hail of bullets not hitting anything. And then the other thing was you had Nikolai blow up a predator with all of his explosives. And it was like, oh, he's dead, killed, done. You know, no question if it's alive or not. And then you had Adrian Brody at the very end kind of set up his grenade trap using Topher Grace's body. And there were like 7 or 8 grenades.
Yeah.
That he strapped onto him and it blew him back and had that nice like throw. Shouldn't he have been killed with that?
Yeah, none of that shrapnel. So this super predator
if a prison shiv can pierce the skin.
Yeah.
And you know, like stab and produce blood and all this stuff, and this other one gets hit with 8 grenades point blank and it doesn't do anything, it just kind of knocks him for a loop. You're like, oh man, that was It just, yeah, that was another one that kind of bugged me a little bit. But
that's why I love Predator 2, because the Predator loses an arm in that. And then so the final fight, it's more believable. It's on level terms. And I like Predator. We talked about that on a final fight episode where the Predator just shellacks Arnold. But then it gets led into a trap, like with its own hubris.
Yeah. So
I do think that, yeah, that it, something should have happened. Like, it should have blown out a knee. I don't know, something. Because
yeah, or just like done major damage, like major internal damage. Like he was knocked for a loop, but once he got his bearings back and found Brody, he was like, you know, knocking the shit out of him and like going through all the stuff. And it was just like, okay, all right. I don't know. There was just something like an explosion killed the predator. An explosion doesn't kill the predator.
Yeah, that was a bit odd. But at the end of the day, though, I guess, you know what I think is tough, Nathan, where we watch Predator, the first one. We watch Alien. You watch these classics of cinema. And then when a sequel doesn't attain... Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, Kobe scored 80 plus... 78 points in a game, 80-some points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
For every other game in his career, no one went, oh, that game sucked because he didn't score 78 points. So,
yeah.
We watch movies like Predator. We watch movies like Alien. And then you're like, that movie isn't as good. Or that movie's... That's no Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's no The Dark Knight. That doesn't happen much. So I think if we look at Predators on its own, it's a totally fine HBO TNT picture.
I agree. And it's so hard in those franchises that were so, like you said, iconic and classic. That you have Alien, that you have Predator, that you have these, you know, very good, very enjoyable, even though like some may be a little, you can even look at Predator and be like, well, that was goofy, you know, a little bit here and there, but it had such an impact, was so widely, you know, accepted and well received. And you're trying to, in a sense, when you're doing a sequel, to recreate that magic. Right. Yeah. Regardless of how long it's been since the previous movie.
It won't happen.
So you're trying to recreate that same magic. You're trying to do something different. So they're not saying, oh, it's just the same movie. And you're trying to, you know, add to the lore of the Predator world, how they think, how they act. Now there are scouts, you know, we just added this to the lore. I'm proud of us. But yeah, it's trying to do all these new things, because you had Arnold that just fought this monster, killed it, and he survived. And then you go to Danny Glover, and then you found out that how long they've been there, and there are so many more of them, and they come back every so often, right? And he hands him what was like the flintlock. Yeah. The flintlock pistol is a, here's your reward. And then you go into AVP and, you know, now it's this, oh, this is how they earn their weapons.
They spilled temples. Like, yeah. How much money do they have?
Yeah. They don't have money. They had slave labor.
Oh, that's true.
it's hard. It's hard because you want us as consumers and viewers, we want to have feel the same thing that we felt on these other movies. You know, you want to feel the same way you felt when you watched Predator for the first time. You want to be surprised. You want to be on the edge of your seat. You want to have gasping moments. You want to have all this stuff and still be like, this is new. This is not the same thing. And have that sense of you know, being fresh and something you've never seen before. And it's hard to have all that stuff kind of go in the same time, having expectations for what's come previously, having an appreciation from what came before, having an expectation of what you hope is to come, and then even if you're on board with everything that is in a, you know, that casting or, you know, plot summaries that you've seen or all these things or whoever's attached to it with directing, writing, cinematography, whatever, is it going to add up? Is it going to pay off? Because you could have the best team in the world and it just doesn't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, man. It's hard for any franchise that's been around for so long and has been so well received and is that now classic status, you know?
I love what you had to say, though. And I think if we're gauging Predators on a sequel meter, it does enough to make itself different. It yes. furthers the lore.
Yes.
And it
has enough throwbacks
yeah.
that you have that appreciation and it gives a nod. You know, you have Alice Braga's character was talking about, you know, Dutch, how it came up. And she's like, oh, you know what it is. And she's like, yes, there were these reports of this. So you have that throwback to Dutch. And there were certain moments that the Predator was using audio clips from Carl Weathers' character. And then, I can see his face. What's the dude's name that kept shaving his shit? While you're shaving, you got no beard.
With just the regular blade.
Bill Duke was his name. Yeah, yeah. And you had moments like the standoff with, you know, I'm just gonna face it with a blade or a knife or a sword. So there were a lot of things that happened that had those throwbacks. Is that good for some people? Is that bad for some people?
His name's Mac.
Can I go back? Mac, thank you. Goodness. So upset that I couldn't remember Mac's name. And even then, you had the moments where, like, Mac was staring into the jungle. I see you. And then you had Mahershala Ali when he just said he could see something, but he wasn't going to say it, you know, because, no, maybe it was on my mind. Or just, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it definitely had enough throwbacks to have that appreciation. The only one that I wish – didn't happen was at the very end where Adrian Brody shows up shirtless, covered in mud, and was just like, I'm right here, kill me, come on. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
too much. The line was here, you just barreled right through it, bring it back. But, I mean, they set it up to be that way. She was talking about he covered himself in mud, he did this, he was using, you know, the fire to offset its heat vision. So it all made sense, but it was just that little too much of, we've done this before, this is the same thing.
Yeah, it's you like, know? what's homage and what's just sort of a reboot?
A copy, yeah.
And so, but yeah, I guess that's why I think 64 is good. I think, like, so I would say 66. So it's like two-thirds of the way there. Does that make sense? Well, 66.6. Well, I would just say, or 66.63. Don't get me started. But I think once you
0.6 repeating, Mark. Yeah, gosh.
Once you get it there, I think that, 66% would be fine for me. If this was the Suicide Squad, 69. But I think 66% is good. And I enjoy this movie. I think there are some questions that you shouldn't want to ask during the movie. For instance, our scouting. That, like, these are questions you don't want to ask. But it's still fun.
Yeah, if you're sitting in this movie for the first time or any time in the theater, at home, whatever, and you have, two jackasses that just start talking about, like, how do these people get here? Do you think they have scouts like John Lovitz? Yeah, you're going to just – I think you're going to get upset with those people.
Yeah, those are not questions you want. But no, it's
not
still –
not during the viewing.
It's still fun. Hey, before we get out of here, though, I just want to do something. Since we've been talking about Walton Goggins, let's do a Walton Goggins draft.
Oh, gosh.
So you can pull him up on IMDb.
Just speaking since, my language.
Since you are first, since you're the guest, I'll let you have first pick.
And you know this is going to lead into where we're going on our next choice and our little journey here. Yeah. You know, we did Jamie, what was it? Koteas to, what did we do? It was Koteas to Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken to Jamie Presley. Jamie Presley to Danny Trejo. And now we're going to move on to Trejo. And it's got to be Goggins.
Oh, it's got to be Goggins.
It's got to be.
I'm Gaga for Goggins.
I'm Gaga for Goggins. Absolutely.
So you get first pick, and I will let you have it.
Okay, goodness gracious.
Go to Movies, Films, and Flicks. You can see all the polls. This is where we run them at. So Movies, Films, and Flicks on Facebook.
Okay. Oh, man. And this is going to be hard for me because I love Goggins so much in everything that he is in. Oh, goodness. This may be controversial, but for being my first pick, because I didn't love the movie, and he had a very small part in it, but it was so memorable for me. Yes.
House of a Thousand Corpses?
No.
Oh. What was it?
I mean, yes.
Because you've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going with American Ultra.
Oh, dude, I love him. The Laffer.
Yeah. It was such a goofy, just character. And again, small role. He had so little dialogue, but just... Yeah, it stands out. Whenever I think of him, I think of – that's one of the characters I think of. So I'm going to do that first. Again, people may be like, that's the one he picked. Just – yeah, yes, it is the one I picked, but because he stands out the most for me in that. But
all right, since you did that and you didn't go like something huge, I'll just go with Fat Man first then, where he also plays a hitman.
I forgot.
Where he's a hitman trying to kill Santa Claus. And so we've just picked two Hitman movie. So we had to solid take Fat Man first.
There you go. All right, next one, I will do something big. I'm going to go Django Unchained.
Ooh, then I'll do Hateful Eight.
There you go. Okay.
Because it's him and Sam Jackson at the end of that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All right, Hateful Eight, I'll take that second. We got our Tarantino fix. We have, two Hitmen, then two Tarantino.
You will probably get upset with me.
Yeah, I will. I know what you're picking.
I know. But Ant-Man I don't want Wasp? To because I know you let... Yes, I'll do Ant-Man and the Wasp.
See, as soon as you said, I'm sorry, man. I knew it. I was like, yeah, he's taking Ant-Man and the Wasp. A Southern Gentleman. Have you seen Southern Gentleman? Still to this day, my favorite MCU film. And I don't care what people say. Because it makes me happy.
Absolutely.
All right. So you just took a big one here. That's what I was... I'm kind of shook right now. There's Lincoln. There's Cowboys and Aliens. I don't even know what he was in this, but I think it's a very underrated movie. What? Oh, he's in The Bourne Identity? I'm taking Shanghai Noon. I love Shanghai Noon.
What is Shanghai Noon? Oh, and my God.
That's an underrated movie because it's good. I love that movie. Well, no, it made a ton of money and it got a sequel, but it's still a very good movie.
Dude, I love that movie. I love it 100%. It's one of my favorite lines. Me and my buddy Colin would always say this because it came out in high school and we just blasted out at each other in random moments. So, you said wet shirt, not break, not piss shirt, Ben Barr. My favorite. Going back here, I didn't even think that I'm going to have to go back and watch this one because I didn't know he was in it. Here's another small one I got to do. I'm going to do Major League Back to the Minors. Just because it's Major League, and I didn't know that he was in that movie. Well, so I got to do that one.
I'll take House of a Thousand Corpses.
Okay.
Because that's a brutal one. All right. So you get your fifth pick. I like your Major League. That was daring.
Yeah. I'm making a couple daring choices here. There's so much to choose from. You know what we could do? Since we mentioned it before, you said one, I said the other. We could just add a TV show at the end.
No. Well, I'll take if you take S.H.I.E.L.D., I'll take Justified.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Oh, okay.
All right. I will absolutely take the S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, man.
All right.
Shane Vendrell. Heck yeah.
I was going to pick Tomb Raider because he was the villain in a major Hollywood picture, but I'm happy with my squad. So I have Fat Man, Hateful Eight, Shanghai Noon, House of a Thousand Corpses, Justified. You have American Ultra, Django Unchained, The S.H.I.E.L.D., Ant-Man the Wasp, Major League, Back to the Minors. I'm going to get crushed. I'm going to vote for you because he's a Southern gentleman.
I was going to say, not at all. I've got American Ultra and Major League Back to the Minors. That is going to – I love it. Not everyone else may. But that's the beauty of these drafts that we always do, because if someone chooses a goofy theme or something else, or just something that's an oddball choice, sometimes that'll just get the win the pick of the litter there.
I don't know if I've beaten my guests into submission on this, but – like, we'll do a Harrison Ford draft. All right, my first pick. I'll take Hollywood Homicide. That's where we're at. Like, people know MFF. Like, people – and then the other person's like, oh, okay, I'll take 6 days, 7 nights. Like, it's not Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back. Like, that's what most people would go for. But, like, you know what?
You go for Air Force One. Get off my plane. Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to take that Firewall movie.
I'll get that one, yeah.
Give me Firewall. Oh,
I'm going to take Indiana Jones, but it's Kingdom with it. Crystal Skull. Exactly.
Like, non – that's what I love about MFF. Like, we don't allow ringers. I think you got to think outside the box a little bit on this podcast and at this side. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I got a question for you that goes ties back into the movie here.
Yeah.
And I guess it's kind of a what would do better. And this could be a different offset for who would Nathan or Mark survive most. If you were thrown into this jungle, so you had someone with a samurai sword and a pistol, you had someone with a minigun, you had someone with a drum rolled shotgun, what do you think your weapon of choice would be that would give you the most? And it could be something that was already there. Like, it doesn't have to be something like super, like, I'm going to have a baseball bat. I've got a nice, solid, follow through. But, like, what if you were to choose, like, an archetype or something that you would want to go into a jungle setting against predators, what do you think would have the best?
I'd be the John Wick, probably. Probably a couple 45s with some stopping power, a boatload of clips, and just a large knife. That'd be it. Because, I mean, you got no distance, and you don't have the stopping power of, say, a machine gun or a shotgun, but you're gonna be close quarters, you're in the woods, like that huge gun too, you're not mobile with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you gave me that huge gun, I would just shoot myself backwards. If you gave me a sniper rifle, I would miss. If you gave me Adrian Brody's gun, I would fly all over the place. Give me a 45, I could shoot that thing. So I'm taking a 45. What about you?
I would This goes into, like, kind of my place.
Rocket launcher.
I want a rock. I want those friggin' German hand grenades, like sticks, and you just throw them. I'm gonna say GoldenEye slaps only. In my play styles, like, whenever I, like, play any game, or, if you're ever, like, doing paintball or, like, Nerf Wars or anything as a kid, I was always kind of like the sniper mentality. I would just be like, instead of, like, running out, because I'm not the fastest and I get winded, and, like, that could take away from things. But, like, as far as, like, hunkering down, finding a place for people to come to you, getting a hiding spot, getting, like, a longer range weapon, I think I would probably go along the sniper route.
Nice. I'd miss.
That's just what I would – I mean, it would be – I would probably miss too. But as far as – if you had, like, let's say we had the information that, like, Alice Braga's character had, like, oh, you can cover yourself in mud to cover yourself. They do this. Like, you had a little bit of information, and you're also proficient in this, like, hypothetical scenario of whatever you brought with you. I would probably go the sniper route.
I could see that. Mark, go run out there and see what's going on. That's the way. That's funny you say that, because when I played Halo, I used to play Halo and call it, like, undergrad, like, what, 02, 03, 01. And I would always have the shotgun, and I would just run around causing chaos while people sniped everyone around me. Because I could stay alive.
Yeah.
I could stay alive for a long time.
Yeah.
But also, hey, I have a question. Have you watched Underwater yet?
Underwater?
With Kristen Stewart.
You mean Downwater?
Yeah, Downwater. Have you seen Downwater?
No, I have not seen Underwater.
And on one of our episodes recently, it was a Deep Blue Sea episode. I said Underwater, but it was Downwater. But I had a couple questions here. Cthulhu?
Yeah.
So Aaron Newworth asked us, who from Predators could take on the Cthulhu? Walton Goggins? Shave it to death?
Oh, man. Who could take on the Cthulhu? Like that, like whole Elder God Cthulhu.
Yeah, that like when you look into it, you go insane. Oh my gosh!
Holy crapola! I gotta say Lawrence Fishburne. He's already there.
Yeah.
He's already nuts though. He's already peered into the eyes of madness. He's already lost it, and he's gone through the threshold and come back. Wow. Yeah, I'm gonna say. What is it, Nolan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's a great answer. And then second one from Johnny Numb. If you put Kristen Stewart in Predators and Adrian Brody in Underwater, how would that change the trajectory of each film?
Complete tonal shift.
You'd have Adrian Brody down here,
and you'd probably just have Kristen.
We gotta get
Stewart.
Out from under. We gotta get out from underwater. You're like, oh, this water. We gotta get out. Right now we're underwater.
Exactly.
Soon we gotta get above water. I like Kristen Stewart. I think she could play a military person. But no, she would be a villain, though, in Predators.
Would she be one of the Predators? No.
So she would be like a drone. What would she be? Like a drone pilot? Or like a... She could be an assassin? Sniper?
She would be...
Her and Braga would team up.
She would be the spotter, and she would get left behind. What would Kristen Stewart be? Man, that's a good question.
I'm a fan of hers, though. So I... Brody would be weird in Underwater because I love the dynamic of Underwater. So
she would be that kind of chaotic, use whatever you can. Like she'd probably have a flamethrower and like Molotov cocktails.
She'd be
the equivalent of the Uruk-hai in freaking Two Towers. That's running to like dive bomb into the powder kegs, like just like caution to the wind. We're gonna like the chaotic character that's just kind of, you know, gonna burn everything down to get the enemy. That'd be my suggestion.
And then no one's like, hey, you gonna waste that alcohol? Or you gonna don't use that as a Molotov cocktail? Let me sip some.
But it's what would she be? That's a great question, Johnny Numb. I would watch both movies. That's the answer. Well, hey, Nathan, thank you so much for joining me, man. Do you have anything
Absolutely,
left?
Absolutely, man. I don't think so. I think that's all I had for you. I guess we just got to find out what Goggins movie we're gonna carry over.
There's
this
a lot
next
of options.
I'm, there I'm, are a ton of options. It's great.
I'm down for a lot of them. So it's going back to Major League. No. But hey, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. Always have a blast.
All right. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Nathan Leahy, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.